Oh, it feels really good to have a storyline. Feels like you're taking me off contract. I'm obsessive when I think about you, Zach. Your skinny bitch wife with the gun I did attack. You got me stressing, you wouldn't have sex with me. Also, your daddy was a psycho and he screwed me. Back in September, I thought that my story would last. Into a crazy bitch, those writers turned me really fast. Sex with a minor couldn't be hotter, but they just got rid of me. Think I'll go and call Sabine. Please, no more teen schemes. It's not easy to be an aging soap star. I thought you liked me. I hate ABC. They really suck. SOS, please, someone help me. It's not healthy to kill off all the hot MILFs. Making this hard. That Franz has done it again. He ain't no brain surgeon. That Brian Franz has done it again, people. Killed off yet another hot woman over 40 from all my children. That is a shame, people. It's a good thing they bringing Angie back. And Rebecca. I still feel bad for Sabine, though. This week on All My Children, Hannah and Zach go over a cliff. Guess which one lives?
Ryan takes a bullet in the head and gains a personality.
I guess leukemia isn't terminal. That's good news for Richie.
And in case you didn't notice, ABC wants you to know that the real Greenlee is coming back on January 16th.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am Peter.
Pedro. His name is Pedro. And this is the Pine Valley Podcast, the first one in 2008 for the week ending January 11th.
Ashley, I'm glad to see that you did not go the way of Dick Clark.
What are you talking about, Pedro?
Well, I went to Usher in the new year, and I couldn't understand what he said. It was terrible.
I saw that. Oh, my God. People, it was so sad. I didn't know. I don't think I watched it last year, because I heard he was on last year, too.
He was. It was a little uncomfortable. I wish he had just wished everyone a happy new year instead of trying to be the host.
He was like, people, he was hosting the whole show, and like, people, he had a stroke.
Yes.
So.
This is probably not a great topic.
No, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I felt bad for him. God bless you, Dick Clark. You did your best, but it was very sad to see. Because I'm used to him looking like he's 22.
I know.
Like for 82 years, he looked like he was 22.
That's what I mean. That's why it was nice for me to come in here and see Ashley looking like you do, 22.
That's why I like having him on, people. He's nice. Taylor would never have said that to me. Listen, people, I am very glad to be back. I almost didn't make it back. I was trying to do a podcast last week, but I ended up with that stomach virus, retrovirus, my doctor called it. It was nasty, people. It was horrible. Everybody I know had the stomach virus.
The retro.
My brother had it. My sister had it. My mother had it. I went to work. The people in the mailroom, they all had it. Their kids had it. It was terrible.
So that's all. I have to say, a good, hearty Vermont attitude did not affect me whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, you're more resilient than us.
That's
Bronx
what I'm saying.
Types. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. When you're these Birkenstocks, when you walk around with cold feet a lot, you're more resilient.
Well, it must be the wool socks protecting you.
I think so.
Anyway, people, there is a lot going on in the new year and All My Children. So much to talk about. Actually, we're going to have a special guest next week. Jordan is going to be back next week, and that's going to coincide with the return of the real Greenlee, quote unquote. How obnoxious is ABC?
It is. It's pretty bad.
I want to smack the out of them. You know what I'm saying?
It is. I feel bad for Sabine.
You know she's watching these last few episodes. And it's like, if you have not been watching, people, in the corner of the screen, there is literally like a little logo that says, like, it has the ABC logo. And then it says, the real Greenlee comes back on January 16th. Or the real Greenlee returns or something like that, right?
That is correct. Why couldn't they say the original?
That's what I'm saying. That's a little nicer. It's like, so insulting. Every time you watch it, it's so insulting. It gets me so mad. Look, there is nobody happier when I saw that Rebecca Buttig was coming back to play Greeley. But it is like perpetually rubbing salt into people's wounds. You know what I'm saying?
It is bad.
It's horrible. And all the fans, nobody likes it. I've been reading the boards. I've been reading Super Posters blog, and nobody on the blogs or Super Posters blog or anybody else's blog likes the real Greeley crap. It's crap.
Well, I have to say it's exciting that the real Greenlee's coming back.
I don't know, people. It just makes me feel awful. And then every day as I'm watching the Greenlee, like Sabine, like in the clock's ticking down, and like each episode goes by, it gets closer and closer to her last episode.
They should have a new clock. That they should have like a new Chiron, which is like until Sabine, how many days after Greenlee arrives that Sabine kills herself? I mean, that poor girl.
I feel terrible for her.
There should be
lovely.
Like a watch. Like, Sabine made it one more day. You know, like they're all excited.
Ay, Dios. Well, at the end of last week, I mean, I haven't been with you people in a couple of weeks, but we'll just take it from the end of last week when we had Ryan getting shot by Crazy Hannah, who was trying to kill Kenzel.
There was something wrong with that laser.
Do you remember that?
The dot and the scope didn't line up. And it was like, if you have a laser scope, where that little crosshairs are, the X is where the dot is. And if you watched it, it was like the red dot was in one place and the crosshairs were somewhere else.
It really was bizarre. And from a woman who says she could shoot, what did she say? Like, I could shoot a contact lens out of your hand from like 600 feet or something like that. Like, she had the biggest red dot on Kendall's forehead. It was true. Like covering her whole entire face.
It was.
And she missed.
It looked like it was like a Home Depot ad. You know? They got the red dot that gets angry.
Is that Home Depot? Is that like Walmart or something?
Maybe it's Walmart. Oh, it could be the Walmart guy. Yes.
The little Walmart light bulb?
Yeah, the yellow guy.
Oh, yeah, I think that's Walmart. Where he changes like the price tags on the stuff.
Yes.
It could be like that. Anyway, the one good thing about Hannah shooting Kendall, or actually Hannah shooting Ryan and wanting to shoot Kendall, was the fact that after the whole shooting, she went to visit Josh. And he was half naked. And he gets the door half naked. I was so happy. I was a little sad. I mean, Josh, our Josh has still been relegated. Our beautiful Colin Egglesfield has still been relegated to the back burners. But it was very nice seeing him shirtless. Pedro, why are you looking at me like that? I'm allowed to buy the male form.
I know, it's just that wasn't a big draw for myself.
You didn't like that? You didn't like his bulging pecs, his ripple abs?
It's nothing I haven't seen before when I look in the mirror.
That is true. People, I haven't seen him shirtless. And normally when I knock on your door and you're coming out of the bathtub, you put like a shirt or a robe on.
I know. Well, that's actually not a robe. I just have a very hairy chest.
Oh, you should have told me that. Well, Kyle Eggsville has not a hair to be found. He is beautiful, and he don't put on no shirt to answer no door. So no. That was nice. Anyway, he goes to the door, and he immediately figures out that Hannah's acting weird because she like tries to have sex with him. Like, I guess being a killing machine juices her up.
Yes,
because she gets
her on.
It turns her on. It turns her buttons. She gets very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Some doctors will call it hypersexual. That's a good term, right?
I didn't know that was a medical term.
It's a good term. Hypersexual. That's what she gets.
Okay.
So then she tries to have sex with Josh, but she keeps on like obsessing about Zach and how Zach didn't love her and blah blah blah. And I wanted to like press pause and like stop Hannah. And say, Hannah, that's not attractive. Like in the rules, like that book, The Rules, you wouldn't be obsessing over another man. You would be obsessing over the man in front of you. You'd be like, how handsome you are, and you look so beautiful without your shirt on. And you would say stuff like that.
So you wouldn't talk about, you wouldn't be with another man talking about another man.
That's right. Especially a man who burned you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a recipe for romance.
It really doesn't. No. And you know what? It didn't work. Josh is much smarter than that. He figured out that Hannah was acting very weird.
That's good.
So he figured out she was acting weird. And then, people, she goes and she knocks him out with the gun. She like wails him with the gun. He knocks. He gets knocked out. And in the meantime, people, you had like, you still have, you know, the whole brouhaha at Kendall's apartment because Ryan, you know, he took the bullet for Kendall. Now, I think it just grazed him. Is that correct, Pedro?
It looked like a graze.
It looked like a graze. All right. And it's really like, it drives me crazy because, well, first of all, it was kind of funny because we had another one of those things where like the blood was like smeared all over Ryan's forehead. And you could like literally see the handprint that smeared it, like the makeup people's handprint. It was kind of funny. And then like, while Ryan is shot, Kendall is like bitching and moaning that it should have been her. Like, stop thinking about yourself for 1 minute, Kendall. Like, think about Ryan. He's like bleeding out of his skull for you. You know what I'm saying?
It was a dramatic moment. I'll give it that. I felt there was a lot of drama.
You did?
Yeah, when he took a bullet in the head.
But you see, this is my problem with the whole entire show. You know he gonna live.
That's true.
You know Zach is gonna live.
That's true.
You know Ken. You know Hannah ain't.
You know who's not gonna live?
Who?
Sabine.
Oh, don't say that.
Poor girl.
We feel terrible for her at the Pine Valley Podcast. We really do. So. We're with y'all. I think everybody here is on the same page about this girl. So I won't digress, but Sabine, we with you. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, so he goes to the hospital and they try to take care of Ryan. And it's kind of fun because, you know, Ryan wakes up and he says to Annie, I call her Blandy. He says to Blandy, I'm looking at an angel or something like that. And he gets so happy and... You know, I got to tell you, I remember Ryan when Jillian got shot. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm still very much anti-Blandy and Ryan. 2008, I want to see them. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see no more guns to Ryan's head. I want to see a bullet to that relationship.
Pine Valley is a very dangerous place. There's more shootings in Pine Valley than...
You know, I was thinking about
than
that.
The Bronx.
Me and you live in the Bronx, right?
Mm-hmm.
I asked Pedro earlier today, how many times has somebody tried to kill him? How many times has someone tried to kill you?
And I said, well, in my older years?
Or in your childhood. Because he lived in the Bronx. And he wore Birkenstocks when he was a tyke. His mother put him in Birkenstocks when he was a tyke. Oh, you did not have a good childhood here. She made him eat, people. She made him eat whole wheat grain bread. Now, this is like in the 80s when people did not. You did not eat that. You ate Wonder Bread. Yeah, that's true. Late 70s, early 80s with honey. Didn't she sometimes put beans on there, too?
I would rather not get into the cooking stylings of my mother.
I'm just saying. There's a reason why kids beat you up. That's all I'm saying. So listen, how many times did someone actually try to kill you when you were little? Or when you were adult? Like, just how many times?
Let me think about this for 1 second.
I'm going to say seriously.
I'm just going to do a calculation. Zero.
That's what I'm saying. All these people, someone been trying to kill them like 82 times each.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. It gets boring. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. How many times could someone try to kill you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And I was going to say that I remember when Jillian got shot and Ryan and Jillian had those scenes and he was like crying over her and stuff. And like that was amazing, those scenes. And I just don't feel that he would Blandy. And I'm never going to feel it. But some good stuff is happening because Ryan is getting wacky.
Yes. He's also, I think he's lowered his body temperature a great deal.
You think?
I do. Because when he was standing without any clothes on the balcony... There was snow accumulating on
him. It didn't melt.
It didn't melt.
It just landed on him.
Yeah. So not only is he shirtless and pantsless, he can lower his body temperature to freezing.
That's right. But listen, people, let me give you a little bit of background on that, very tiny bit. Basically, when he wakes up, he starts dancing with Erica. Erica comes in that blue and black dress that I love. She wore that before during the whole, like, you know, I Blame Me episode, that crazy alternate reality episode. Anyway, she's wearing that beautiful dress and he comes in and he does a waltz with her and he does like his best Dancing with the Stars waltz and he tries to lead and she says, no, Ryan, I'll lead, which is kind of cute. And they danced around and then Blandy comes in and he's all excited, all happy, and he gets home and he's all excited and all happy. He doesn't even care that Richie's alive, that Richie's living and all that stuff, and we'll get to that later. But anyway, at the end of Friday's episode, Blandy is looking for Ryan in the apartment and she can't find him, and she opens the balcony door and he's standing there doing his best Jim Morrison with his hands outstretched, sort of like Jesus Christ pose, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And his head is up and the snow is falling on him and it's not melting.
He's happy to be alive.
He's very happy to be alive. I really like it.
I know you like it.
They're going to do some stuff with that, I'm telling you right now. If you go on Super Posters blog, one of our favorite friends of the show, you can go to www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear and you can go to his blog and get all his blogs and get some good spoilers. But I will tell you one thing. Some wacky stuff is going to happen as the result of his bullet to the head that I'm going to like. I don't think Melissa Claire Egan's going to like it, the actress that plays Blandy, but I'm going to love it. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying right now. I'm saying put Greeley with Zach because rumor has it, people, some major chemistry going on there with Rebecca Budding and Torsten K. Yo, yo, that's what I'm hearing.
That's the real Greenlee.
Yes, the real Greenlee. Ugh. The original Greenlee. You put her with him. You put Kendall back with Ryan. And you good to go. Kick Blandy off. Kick Gaiden off. Listen, no offense, people. I don't like to see actors fire. I'm not saying that, all right? I'm just saying they're not really good where they are. And there's other people that are really good. Long story short, Ryan's going crazy. So we go back to Hannah, all right? What happens with the whole Hannah thing, which is really dumb, stupid, so many holes. She ends up tying up Josh. Josh gets tied up. He's in a chair. He finds a loose, like his wrist is like loose. So he like is able to loosen that while she holds him hostage. Kendall and Zach come running to Josh's because they realize he ain't getting the phone. So they go to see him. And then while the door is closed and they haven't even gotten in, Josh warns them about Hannah holding him hostage. And she, whatever, has a dumb conversation with Zach. And I don't know. I didn't follow none of this. It was kind of stupid. And Hannah was just like complaining, blah, 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 blah about Zach. You know, crying over him and stuff while Josh is getting free. He gets free. They have a gun struggle. The gun goes off. It's so stupid. You know nobody's going to get shot. That's another thing that's so tired. Wrestling for the gun. And then the gun goes off. Oh, my God. Someone got shot. Nobody got shot. So stupid. It's tired storylines. Tired. I'm going to tell you who else is tired. Our poor writers. They're still on strike.
They are tired.
I got a tidbit for you. We got new writers writing the show, people.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying it ain't the people that was writing it. That's what I'm saying. And that's all I'm going to say on that topic. I'm going to say all the shows are doing it. It's very well known that they get writers to write the show. The technical term, scabs. But listen, don't sue me, ABC, Disney, Touchstone Pictures, because I'm just saying what y'all already know. All right? If the writers ain't writing the show, the WGA writers aren't writing the show, and somebody is, that's what you call it. Am I right, Pedro?
You are correct.
Not good. We'll see what happens. I'm really hoping and praying that this storylines or these that the new writers, quote unquote, are coming up with won't do too much damage, but
you never know. This show could go to crazy town.
It could. That's what I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. It's a bad time, too, to be going to Crazy Town because we got some delicious new and old characters returning. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say new because I don't think any new. But like Jesse, we know is coming back. We know he's coming back as Jesse, which I like, and which Jordan Taylor called. We know Angie is coming back. We know Rebecca's coming back. We have a new Frankie. So we have some really great stuff going on. So I just hope that doesn't get too affected by the crazy new writing team.
I just hope nothing affects the band, the teen band.
Listen, people, I am not going to talk about Dre. I will say one thing about Dre. We now know why every time a 9/11 theme comes on, he gets all crazy. Apparently, his mother got killed in 9/11.
I just thought it was interesting. He's living in the walls of a mansion.
Yes, that's right. In the tunnels of the Chandler Mansion. Right. Colby has put him there. Our little anorexic Colby has put him there.
Right. And then she gave him some postcards to write letters.
Yeah, something like that. I told you, I wrote on my notes. Dre and Colby, I am not taking notes. And then I took one note. I told you the note about the 9/11. But here's what I liked about that. The only thing I liked about that was the twist. I liked that he was mad at his father for exploiting 9/11 to get elected. Mm-hmm. I like that. I thought that that was a nice twist. Because otherwise, too sentimental. Because, like, Pedro was right. He was saying today that you can't really do that to New Yorkers. Like, that kind of storyline doesn't really... Because we lived it, you know? Mm-hmm. You agree, don't you, Pedro?
I agree.
I think you said... I remember you said something about it's too soon or something even.
Well, it's just a tough... But I got to admit, I think they did a good job. I mean, listen, I think they're doing a good job.
Yeah. That was a good twist. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I still don't love Dre,
but... You know who the father is going to be.
We do, people. We do.
Can you... You can't talk about that.
I don't like doing spoiler alerts, but you people are... I'm telling you, anybody who listens to this... Anybody who listens to this podcast probably knows, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all the spoilers and stuff. All right, so I'm going to tell you. You people know that Mario Van Peebles from New Jack City is coming to the show. And he's going to play Dre's father. And we think he's going to be a love interest for Erica.
Because he's going to be a love interest for Erica?
I think so.
Really?
That's the story.
Well, that's interesting.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Listen, I think that... The one thing I'll say about Jack is that guy... You know, he can act with his eyebrows like nobody's business. And it will be interesting to see Mario Van Peebles
and Jack and act Jack off.
Go for head to head in an act off.
I think that would be a very good act off.
Right. Like Dr. Joe and Jack were in an act off.
They were the good act off.
Yeah.
Over Greenlee's medical test.
There's a lot of eyebrow action going, a lot of like really good emphasis with points with a good raised eyebrow. The two of them.
Well, talking about crazy raised eyebrows, Hannah was giving some serious crazy raised eyebrows. I didn't really completely buy people her, like, crazy attack. Did you buy it?
Who, Hannah's?
Like, her crazy breakdown. I only bought it when she was with Zach on the mountain. But, the stuff in between was a little wacky, and I didn't really buy it. Like, her crazy town with Josh was kind of weird, and then she escapes. What I did love, people, was she literally ran into Sean. At mm-hmm. the park, mm-hmm. quote unquote 17-year-old, even though he's 27 in real life, Sean. Mm-hmm. She runs smack into him and starts bitching and moaning at him, but then realizes how cute he is and she asks him how old he is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, 17. And she's like, that'll do. And it was sexy. She took him. She kissed him. He kissed her back. Poor little Kobe was waiting for him. Little innocent, almost virginal Kobe.
That is heartbreaking.
Kobe hasn't had sex since she had sex with Sean in the boat.
That's true.
I wonder why they haven't had sex again.
I don't know.
That seems crazy.
It does.
It's like she wants to have her innocence back or something.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe she's just trapped in the tunnels of the mansion.
With Dre. Well, anyway, so she had sex with Sean Montgomery. I loved it. And they show them in like the pine cone or whatever. And the TV is on and Hannah's face is in it, like, you know, help wanted or whatever. But she had left anyway because he saw her gun on the floor. So she took off and he got all scared. So she took off. And then she goes.
Well, I love the face in the TV. It was like.
It was like her headshot.
It was like glamour shot. It was. This the most glamorous person needs to be arrested.
It really was. So then she goes and she takes off. And then she goes to the cliff.
Oh, the cliff.
Now, in the meantime, you had like a lot of Kendall, you know, like you had in the meantime, Kendall fighting and stuff. And by the way, I meant to tell you people. But I thought that when Erica was dancing with Ryan, that she was auditioning for Dancing with the Stars.
You thought Erica was auditioning for Dancing with the Stars?
I think I have heard the rumor mill mm-hmm. has it that Miss Lucci would like to be a part of that show. Mm. Because what's her name? Jane, what's her name, was part of the show.
Jane Goodall?
No.
Jane
The British Seymour. Actress. Yes, Jane Seymour.
Jane Goodall would be interesting because, I mean...
She's... Yeah.
Yeah.
That is would she be dead?
I'm not sure if she's dead, but...
She's pretty close.
In the woods.
Yeah.
She's deep in the jungle.
Well, the rumor has it that Miss Lucci is very interested in doing that program. And she'd be a good candidate, I think. I mean, look, Jane Seymour was 97 when she did the show.
I don't think she was 97.
No?
No, that's not quite accurate.
Oh, all right. I mean, Erica Kane is 82. She could do it.
She probably could do it.
So listen. So when you had Kendall in the meantime, like, she's fighting with Aiden all week, people. All week. And it's like, it gets tired. All Kendall does anymore is yell and bitch and moan. And she's like, Aiden, You can't sleep with me. Don't touch me. You can't have sex with me. And Aiden's like, what? Not trying to do the dirty with ya.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you just said.
I said I'm not trying to do the dirty with ya.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
I speak Aiden. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to do the dirty with you.
Oh, thank you.
That's what he said. And I felt bad for him because she's all like, don't look at me. It was kind of funny though because Kendall and Greenlee were having a discussion.
What happened?
Do you remember when Kendall and Greenlee were talking? And Kendall has this guilt thing about sleeping with Aiden.
Oh, yeah.
So she says, she tries to reassure Greenlee and says, he's looking for you everywhere. When you guys were gone, he was looking everywhere. He never gave up looking for you.
That is true. Including in between Kendall's legs.
He did a man hunt.
He did. He was searching for Greenlee.
Actually, he did a woman hunt.
He went everywhere looking for her.
He looked for Greenlee in Kendall's panties.
Yes.
Wasn't there. Nope, not here.
No, not there.
Is she in your armpit? Nope, no, not here.
Nope. Yes.
It was really, it was kind of funny. So anyway, then we have Hannah up in the mountain. We had a little brouhaha, like, Kendall came close, I think, to telling Erica at one point, you know, and then Greenlee came over and they had that whole discussion and stuff. And it's kind of funny because Erica kind of almost caught on a couple times, but didn't. And Kendall talked her way out of it each time. And then in the meantime, you had Greenlee with Jack. All right. Jack was saying something about her about falling in love with Zach. Did you catch that, Pedro? It was really, like, strange. Like, that is some major foreshadowing that makes me very happy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought that up. And then Greenlee's, like, getting these symptoms of getting sick. And unfortunately, people, I know the whole story. So it's making it kind of not so fun for me. I'm not going to share with you what happens. But I think it's going to be really good, to be honest with you. I think it's part of it's going to be good. The part with Greenlee, I don't think it's going to be so good because I think she's going to get sick again, people. We all know that. And I'll wait until those shows happen to give you my opinion on that. But right now,
do you think they would kill off the real Greenlee to bring back the second Greenlee?
It's possible.
Like February 16th.
It's possible.
We'll bring back the second Greenlee.
Maybe they'll bring back the second Greenlee as Blandy.
That's interesting.
Maybe.
You never know.
That would have been good casting, I think.
Because
I think Sabine would have pet Blandy up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Or Babe. Could have pet Babe up a little bit.
Ay, yo, I can't even talk about her. I don't know if I'm going to talk about her.
She is very plain.
Very plain. Down to her black hat, or her white hat, excuse me, and her black coat. So plain. Well, anyway, Sean admits to Jack that he slept with Hannah. Are you people still following this? Because I'm, like, falling asleep a little bit. Sean reveals to Jack that he slept with Hannah, which was kind of comical, actually. Then Jack and Erica tell Kendall and Greenlee that they think that Zach may be in the mountain with Hannah. And so Kendall and Greenlee pretend that they're gonna stay home and not gonna try to find Zach and Hannah. And they lock Jack and Erica in a closet. That was the most well-lit closet I've ever seen. It was like full lights.
Well, that was probably a California closet.
Maybe it was a California. They're very wealthy. They could afford a nice California closet. And so in some of the nicest scenes of the week, people, I'm going to put it out there. We have Hannah and Jack on the same rocks where Leo died. Although that drove me crazy. Did you hear Sabine say, oh my God, that's where Leo died?
Yeah, somehow she didn't quite have the emotional impact of it down.
Listen, I'm not saying that she had to break down and cry, but it was like, oh my God, that's where Leo died. The rocks where Leo died. And she must have known at that point that she was on her way out because...
Maybe she was reading that lower third, the bug that said the original.
I was really pissed at that. That pissed me off a little bit, Sabine, I have to admit. But I'm very sensitive about the whole Leo Greenlee history because I think it was one of the most magnificent pairings in all of daytime television. Magnificent. So then Hannah and Zach go up to the mountain and they have a nice little chat.
That was a good scene.
I liked it. Aiden was on the side ready to shoot.
Yeah, well, listen, that man is obviously got military training.
Very clearly. So here's the thing. Hannah tells him about the whole how Alex Cambius raped her and how she waited for him to rescue her and how he rescued everyone. He rescued Maria. He rescued Kendall. He rescued Erica. He rescued Greenlee. He rescued everyone but her. Mm-hmm. I like that speech.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a good... That's what Zach brings to the table.
Yes.
In terms of acting.
Yes.
You know, the two of them, he can kind of ground anything in something believable.
And that's the thing. These whole, like, I'm going to kill you, you're going to kill me. The writers have to stop this nonsense. Mm-hmm. Because we know major character is not going to die. We know Zach is not going to die.
Well, he fell off the ledge of the
But he ain't going to die.
How do you
she
know?
She fell. He didn't fall.
You don't know that. They both fell off
you
camera.
You know he ain't going to die. It drives me crazy. Don't pretend Greenie's going to die. We know she ain't going to die. She just came back. She ain't going to die.
You never know.
There's no suspense in it for the viewer.
Listen, Ryan, he got shot in the head. I thought he was a goner for sure.
You think?
Well, it turned out he'd just been great.
See what I mean?
Oh, good point.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
So annoying. It makes me crazy. He sells the crap out of these scenes, Mr. Torsten K. I know a lot of y'all have different opinions about Mr. Torsten K. I'm a fan. I think he's excellent.
He's got a good beard.
I think his work was excellent on those scenes. And then he like grabs Hannah and like tries to comfort her and kiss her. And it was like, I wasn't sure what he was doing at that point. I didn't know if he was going to choke her. Didn't it look like he was getting rough? And at one point she kind of said, ow, or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was really weird.
It was strange.
But he didn't. And he was actually going to lead her off. And I really think he was going to help her. Because mm-hmm. I think he did feel guilty.
I want to know, and I hate to bring this up again, but I want to know what type of rapid transit system Pine Valley has.
Very rapid.
Because, I mean, it's amazing. I think they should use this in New York. I mean, I could be downtown in a matter of minutes.
It's true.
It is it's amazing.
I wonder if it must be environmentally correct as well, because you never see cars.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it is rapid.
Very rapid.
It is rapid.
Well, that leaves one more storyline sort of to talk about, because we didn't really have much Tad and Crystal.
No.
Not much at all.
No.
We had Crystal talking to Babe about Richie versus JR. We had Tad talking to JR about his dad, about Adam, and about Babe and stuff. So, I mean, not really much development there.
No.
We did have a lot of Richie this week. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, Pedro, when we last left Richie, last week, because I've been watching. I haven't been doing the podcast because I've been sick and all that, and it's been the holidays, but I've been watching. Richie was about to try to do his plan where he was going to have Blandy kill him. And now, as he's about to have Blandy, like, plunge a knife into his belly, he gets the news. Like, the doctor literally walks out that second and tells him that he has, like, a 20% chance to live with a bone marrow transplant. Mm. And then he needs a donor. So, of course, it's like this whole thing, is Blandy going to be the donor? And, of course, they, you know... And also, too, before they had that whole discussion, Babe ran in with the bad news about Ryan. And, of course, she stays and talks to Richie. And Richie, like, starts crying on her, which I kind of liked. But she kisses him in the loony bin.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Why you be kissing somebody in the loony bin?
I don't know.
You can't do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And those people didn't notice. Mm. How'd they not notice?
I don't know.
Insane. She pushes him away. She has the good sense to push him away, but whatever. And then Richie, like, he just happens to be in the hospital where Ryan is recuperating. I don't know how he got back out. I don't even remember, people. I'm, like, not following some of this. I don't know how he got out of the loony bin and was able to roam the halls free to torment Blandy. They go back and forth again, and I'm bored, people. I've never been sold on this dumbass storyline. I've never been sold on it.
I agree. I will say, I think Richie's it's an interesting character, but I think it's more because of his acting. I think he's a good actor.
I agree.
But you kind of want him to just... Why can't it just be a love triangle between JR, Richie, and Babe?
Instead, it has to be sinister.
Instead of there's a hole he's trying... You know, it's like crazy.
Everybody's trying to kill everybody. Right. He does kill somebody this week. He has that guy killed, that Dr. Chambers that helped him rig his whole getting out and the whole insurance fraud thing. Yeah, I don't understand why it has to be these murder mysteries. Let it be a simple love triangle. That love triangle is interesting to me.
Because it was hilarious when Richie showed up and JR answers the door. Half naked. That was pretty funny.
Well, what happened, people, was really funny. What happens is, after Babe talks to Mama, she has a fantasy. And you don't know who the man is in the fantasy. All right? Now, first of all, the actress that plays Babe, Amanda Baker, she looks better They've been doing her hair curly, and I like it. Mm-hmm. Like it a lot. I always said it should be curly, and now it's curly, and I'm happy. And she's been looking a little hotter with the clothes. Still plain. Too plain, but a little hotter. Mm-hmm. She had a fantasy. She lays down on her couch, and she kind of has a fantasy, and she gets up and looks out the window, and someone is stroking her waist and going down lower. That was sexy, people. And then, like, you don't know whose arm it is, and then it turns out it's Richie. So she wasn't fantasizing about JR. She was fantasizing about Richie.
Mm, interesting.
It was sexy. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is JR comes to her house with promises of hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa.
Not hot cocoa. He basically says, let's go on a date. And she says, no, or something like that. She says, well, let's take little A out. So they take little A out to the playground, to the park, actually.
To build a snowman out of plastic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was a very good snowman.
It was. It was made out of 100% plastic.
And how do you know that, Pedro?
Because... It didn't stick. There was no sticking.
They were throwing snowballs at each other.
They were throwing wads of plastic that would fall apart.
Well, that looked realistic to me. It looked fine. Okay. It didn't look that real, actually. But
I'm a stick.
But what are they going to do? It's indoors. How do you make snow indoors?
I don't know.
They'd have to go to Central Park to shoot the thing. And there's no snow in Central Park.
That's a good point.
What are you going to do? Go to Alaska?
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
They could go to Alaska.
Anyway, they built a very cute snowman. It was a cute little thing. But then, of course, JR pushes it and tries to date Babe. And she ain't having that. I love it when the women in the show, like, I guess I don't have that much self-confidence. Because I would never assume that a man was trying to have sex with me or trying to date me. Mm-hmm. Like, JR looks at her and she's like, JR, I don't want to date you. Stand back, JR. I don't want to be your girlfriend. Let's be friends. I've told you. It's like so like harsh. It's like with her perfect diction.
Well, the emotion that you were conveying is riveting.
Oh, that's what she does.
I know.
Oof. Amanda Baker. Oof. Enough said. People on the blogs are having a hard time with her too.
Yeah. Will they bring the real Babe back, you think?
I don't know. Her man is doing good. In Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing great. Well, we're seeing the promos for Knight Rider, Justin Bruning as the new Knight Rider son. We're seeing the promos. He looks amazing, people. He is tan, California tan. He's got a little more hair on his face, on his head. Holy cow.
It's going to be good.
Pedro's giving me that look again. He doesn't like when I get boy crazy.
Wow.
Pedro, I think you're very handsome.
It's not me.
You got a full beard.
You're a married woman.
Listen, I can look. I just don't touch. You know what I'm saying? Keeps me grounded. You know, you in a relationship, but you... This is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term monogamous relationship. That's why I watch soap operas, to look at the delicious men.
Mm.
Sometimes.
Hmm.
I don't always get it, unfortunately. I did get some deliciousness, although I have to say, people, JR is not looking so delicious to me anymore. He's a little pudgy.
And his hair. He's always got a new hairstyle.
The hair is growing on me, I have to say.
It's growing on him, too.
But the waist is growing also. I don't really like that. That I don't like. But that's okay. It was funny because he and Babe decide that they're going to be friends, and they make this snowman. They go home, and he decides to take a shower there. You know, because they've been, whatever, husband and wife, and now they're friends, and they have a son. So he goes to take a shower, and he comes out to answer the door, and his towel was so high on his waist. It was so funny. And he gets the door, and it's Richie. Now, Richie has just come back from the hospital where he has just seen the shrink. And I love those scenes with the shrinks. You didn't see their faces hardly ever.
No.
I was like, damn, ABC, you really don't want to pay these people, do you? So he has a discussion with them, and he completely fakes his whole thing. He pretends that he's well and that he finds out when Chambers was killed. He pretends that he was all upset. And then in the next scene, you see him on the cell phone calling, like, one of his jail cellmates, thanking him for offing Dr. Chambers. That was very creepy. And that's what I mean. Like, there's been some argument about if Richie can be redeemed. I'm not so sure. I mean, Jonathan was, I guess. But, I mean, I guess he can be redeemed. Anything is possible in soap land. We got people coming back from the dead left and right. So I suppose it's possible. But they're really writing him into a corner the same way they wrote our poor Hannah into a corner and killed her off.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And they did that. And it was so funny, people, because Katie McClain talked about that on her latest, I think it was Soap Opera Digest or one of the magazines. I saw it again on Super Poster's blog because I get all my information first from him. But they showed how, you know, Katie was commenting that they made Roxanna absolutely crazy in the head and they killed her off again.
Mm.
They made her a lunatic. they humiliated her. And she was a strong female character mm-hmm. that everybody loved. Mm-hmm. So why do these soaps feel the need to humiliate these women and make them, rambling lunatic idiots, you know, cursing their lives because of a man? That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know.
I don't think that's very nice. I hate it. I'm a woman. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hear me roar. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. I don't want to roar from the loony bin. I want to roar from the rooftop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's girl power.
It's good.
It's like Scary Spice.
Yes.
Girl power.
Yes.
Pedro, you got to stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
He's looking at me like I'm Crazy Hannah.
No. I'm looking at you like you have girl power.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. I don't know, people. We'll see what happens with Richie and Babe. I like it, though. I kind of like that triangle. I don't like new Babe, though. What am I going to do about that?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what to do about that.
If you squint, the new Babe looks like JR. It's like the same, very clean. Yeah.
People, I think that's about it for me. I want to say, first of all, I got a lot of great well wishes from everybody over the holidays about being sick and also just about having a nice holiday and a happy new year. And I want to thank you all for all your good wishes. Terry in Toronto, you sent me the sweetest email. Thank you so much. I will at some point write you back once I can feel my fingers on the keyboard. I was feeling so awful. Crazy Cat and your sister Mel, you ladies are awesome. I think they're also doing a podcast, the Landview podcast. So if you go to my MySpace page, you can probably find them and you can check them out. Jilly, you've been so great too. Always love getting your comments. Super Poster, love getting your comments. Mel number two, always love getting your comments. Just everybody who writes in. Joe, everybody who writes in, has been so great this year. Thank you so much for your support and your love. I love doing the show for you. I hope you like it. Please do send me your comments, if you have any, to pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to my MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you just can go to my website and you can find all that stuff with other links at www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pedro. We love having you.
It was my pleasure.
That's it for me. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am Peter.
Pedro, papi, Pedro. Here's a little something just for you.
So excited about his coming back.
We're both, I think, just over the moon about it.
I should kill you right on the spot, Baxter.
I am so excited.
Okay, my fabulous All My Children fans, ready to have your minds blown? Word is out that Pine Valley is about to be invaded by not one, not two, but three blasts from the past. The original Greenlee is returning to All My Children, along with Angie and Jesse, and everyone's bursting with questions. Where has the beautiful Angie Hubbard been? Will fan-fave Rebecca Buttig bring back the naughtier side of Greenlee? And exactly how will Jesse come back from the dead? Okay, how about a quick recap of all things Greenlee? Rich girl comes to town, falls for Ryan, loses Ryan, hates Kendall, falls for Leo, loses Leo, marries Ryan, but not for love, falls for Ryan again, loves Kendall, Ryan dies, but then comes back, hates Kendall and Ryan, so Greenlee leaves town. Got it? Okay, I'll start out slow.
Greenlee is impulsive. She's sassy. She's fashionable. Stubborn. And smart.
But we love it, and that's why everyone eventually goes Greenlee. Just ask Ryan.
Y'all stop tickling me!
They started off, you know, casual friends, friends with benefits.
And then Greenlee became obsessed with him, and he wanted nothing to do with her, so she turned to her good old friend Leo to try and win Ryan over, and she fell in love with Leo, and they got married, and then Leo died.
And Ryan was there to comfort her, and they became friends again, and then circumstances came to be that they got married, but got married platonically. And then while they were married and not being intimate with each other, they fell for each other and professed the love for each other.
Look at me. This isn't a dream, Greenlee. This is real. I love you.
Angie and Jesse certainly know something about true love.
I think it was in every
day story. It was an every man's and every woman's story. It was just something that we could all relate to.
I want you.
It started out like this. A rich girl meets a kid from the wrong side of the tracks. They should have never ended up together, but opposites attract. So, Jesse, was it love at first sight?
Well, you know what? They were teenagers at the time, so if it was, they didn't tell it.
He thought that, you know, she was this Miss Prim and Proper with her nose in the air, and I just thought he was just so street, you know, and had no manners and was uneducated, didn't care about getting an education.
Oh, Angie ain't no girlfriend of mine. What'd you tell him something like that for?
I didn't tell him that.
No, Angie didn't tell me. Mommy and Daddy did.
Well, what did they say?
That you liked Angie. That's what Daddy said.
Well, your daddy has got a pea brain, man. He needs to keep his mouth shut.
But we all know what happens when the good girl meets the bad boy.
She fell hard. You know, it was just chemistry. I mean, they just, you know, when that chemistry happened, it was, you know, fire.
Yeah, well, I guess I feel kind of different about you, too, you know?
Jesse, do you?
Yeah.
It's like that one great love in your life, and Jesse was that for Angie.
I promise you, in front of God and all these people here, I'm going to be the best lover, husband, father, and the hardest worker for you and Frankie to give you the life that you deserve. With this ring, I be wed.
Maybe the most important relationship in Greenlee's life has been with on-again, off-again BFF Kendall. Besides sharing more than one man, these two started fusion together and stood by each other through many a tragedy.
When they really bonded like sisters. I mean, like sisters, like Kendall would do anything for Greenlee and vice versa.
You can't give me my baby back. Not the baby that you lost. Another one. Your baby with Ryan. I can give it to you. Your baby, my belly. I give birth for you.
I'd say that's love. Oh, I think Greenlee and Kendall love each other. You know, even when they hate each other, they love each other.
See? She's the liar. Not me.
I love our cat fights. I think, though, my ultimate favorite is we were in Fusion and we got in a cat fight, and my great idea was to spray some lotion or something on her, and then we had to roll around on the ground, and we were laughing so hard, and then Palmer comes in and he dumps water on us.
What the blazes is going on here?
And that's why people love Greenlee and Kendall together, I think. I hope.